1897, 1898, 1899, 1900. 1900 Park Fair. That's where we're eating at today, here at Disney's Grand Floridian Resort and Spa, for this Disney Dining Review. This Disney Dining Review is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel. If you like our content, you'll want to support us. Book a vacation through Dreams Unlimited Travel. Get a free no-obligation quote today at dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. And if you want exclusive content from our Diz team, head over to patreon.com/DizUnlimited. Now, hit the thumbs up, subscribe to our channel if you haven't yet, and hit the bell so you get notified when we have new reviews and videos released. Now, I'm Craig Williams, and today I am here with Rhino. And as I said, we are eating at 1900 Park Fair for breakfast and dinner, all in one review. It opened up today. Yes, today. So it is back. It never reopened after the pandemic. And then they said, hey, guess what? We're ready to reopen it. We made it look better inside. Still pays tribute to the old 1900 Park Fair, but we're going to make it a little bit more fresh, a little bit more modern, give it a little bit more of a new story to it. And then guess what we're also going to do? We're going to bring new characters in, like Cinderella, like Princess Tiana in her explorer outfit from Tiana's Bayou Adventure, Mirabelle from Encanto, and then Prince Ali or Aladdin, depending on who you're talking to. So we got all of that. And then they're like, well, don't worry, there's still going to be strawberry soup. Rhino's going to have to figure out what strawberry soup is, because he's still confused about that. But we're going to break it all down for you. Like I said, breakfast and dinner, those are the two meals that it's open for. Breakfast is 8 to 12, and then dinner is 4 o'clock to 9 o'clock. And I am very excited. I can't wait to find out which one is the superior way to eat at 1900 Park Fair. I'm happy it's reopened. It feels like it's a brand new Walt Disney World because of it. Hopefully the characters are great. Hopefully the food's great. The only way we're going to find out is if we go eat. Rhino, let's do this.
You see this beautiful wish card right over here? You get to write down your wishes.
Yeah.
And then you can keep it close to your heart. You can be a wish granter too, since you're already wish makers. Yeah?
Yeah.
Have you thought about your wish?
No, it's tough, right? Because it's like you kind of want to make a selfless wish, if you like, right?
It can be any wish.
Yeah.
It can be, I had a special wish. I did. I wished to make my family proud. That was my biggest wish.
Yeah.
I also saved America too, but I couldn't have done it without the help of my family and friends too.
Yeah.
So it can be a small wish or a big wish. It could be, I wish I had a magical gift to make an epical guest from here. Some wishes take time.
All these lights. It kind of reminds me of the time that my friend Genie snapped his fingers and added all these chandeliers into the palace as well. You see, he loves fine dining.
We got Genie right here.
Hey, look at that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that. Are you enjoying everything so far?
So far, so good. It's very nice in here, yeah.
Hey, great. Have you thought about any wishes you're going to wish for?
You know, it's a tough game. I was just talking to Mirabelle about it, where it's like, I kind of want to do a little bit of a selfish wish, like how you wish for Genie's freedom, something on that level of, like, doing good for somebody else, you know?
So. Wish granter, right?
Yes.
Instead of a wish maker.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that, my friend. In fact, I encourage it too. The thing is, when it comes to wishing from your heart, you can never have enough wishes, right?
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
You can write as many things as you want there.
Okay.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, not limited by the three wish rule, so.
Yeah, that's what we're all genies rule.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But hey, now you get to choose with your heart.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Awesome, I love it. We made it to our seats and kind of got bombarded by characters right away. So we've seen Mirabelle, who was very chatty. Really enjoyed that experience. That was actually my first time meeting Mirabelle at a Disney park, so that was really cool. And then we got that followed up with Prince Ali, Ababwa. You may have heard of him.
Yes, it's he.
That interaction was a little more awkward for me. I don't know why, but I see Tiana's on the other side. She'll be making her way around, and then I think we're going to get Cinderella maybe at some point. But we got this little card that has the usual. It's their autographs on the other side, on the back side here. So you can see Cinderella, Aladdin, which is what I called him, Tiana, Mirabelle. And on this side, you got our server Helen was telling us this is the for because these are all wish makers, and now we're becoming wish makers. So we're going to write our wishes on this card. I don't know what we do with it, but both characters have asked me about it, and it's been a nice experience.
Rhino, you're absolutely right. This is all about wishes, and you can feel it all around this restaurant. This isn't your grandma's 1900 Park Fair. It's completely different, and all around the interior of the restaurant, as you look up, you'll see Disney characters in kind of their wish moments. So Cinderella is sitting in, you know, kneeling down in her garden as the fairy godmother is appearing. Princess Aurora and Prince Philip are dancing from Once Upon a Dream and Sleeping Beauty. Snow White's standing by the wishing well doing, "I'm wishing." That's all you're going to get from me there. Geppetto's wishing upon the star from Pinocchio. Belle wants adventure in that great somewhere. Aladdin just rubbed that lamp, and now the genie's going to be popping out of there. Alice is about to go down the rabbit hole and see where it goes. Tiana's wishing upon a star, and she doesn't know what's going to happen to her yet, but it's going to be crazy. Ariel is trying to reach, you know, that outside world that she wants to be so much a part of. You have Rapunzel. At last, she sees the lights. It's like the, I don't know all the lyrics. I love Asha's. She's a meeting star for the first time. Really cute. Little cute moment there with Valentino, and then a really, really great one there. You have Arthur as he's about to pull the sword from the stone. I know Rhino has to be excited about that, considering his dog is King Arthur, which that works out here. You always love a good sword in the stone reference. But when you get seated down, they will hand you a beverage menu with specialty cocktails. I do believe that these will be the exact same for dinner, because it kind of feels like when you look at it, it's, you know, it's got the wine, beer, specialty drinks, zero-proof cocktails, hot beverages. It feels like it's a multi-purpose beverage menu. We didn't order any for breakfast. Maybe we'll get some for dinner. But, you know, with stuff like a French 75, Paloma, Gold Rush, Cold Brew Martini, so much of it just feels like it could be, like, it doesn't feel very unique to here, even if it is a unique cocktail menu for here. Honestly, the zero-proof cocktails and the non-alcoholic specialty beverages sound the most delicious, like the Agave Garden, the Pink London Spritzer, and then the Lavender Lemonade. But I'm looking at Lavender Lemonade, and, you know, they're saying it, like, gives you the flavors inspired by New Orleans. It's just going to be lavender simple syrup and lemonade. That should be free. Like, that should be something that you just automatically get, not have to pay $6.29 for. When you do sit down, if you skip that beverage menu, you'll order whatever drink you want, like any other buffet service here. You know, non-alcoholic coffee, teas, sodas, that'll be on the house. They drop off your wishing juice, which I hate the name of that, but it's just Pog juice, which is always lovely. You love a good Disney restaurant with Pog juice. And then you probably end up meeting more characters, like what's about to happen to us. I know it's coming. And then finally, the food.
I love your outfit.
Oh, well, thanks. Let me know, Mom, if you get me ready for the bayou now.
I can't wait.
Now, I have been getting ready for a real big celebration now in the bayou.
Yeah.
Now, if y'all could wish, would y'all wish for a big pot of gumbo or a big plate of beignets?
Gumbo.
I think beignets for me.
Oh, a little bit of both. Now, that sounds like a real good celebration now.
Yeah.
With a little extra pop sugar and some honey on there, too. Mm. And maybe some Tabasco sauce, and it'll be the bee's knees.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
And would y'all like to hop on me?
Can I get a picture with you?
Well, absolutely.
Okay. You are stunning in this dress here. Wonderful.
My fairy godmother made this for me. I'll have to pass along the compliment.
Oh, please do. Yes.
Absolutely. Where are you two traveling from?
Here, locally.
Oh, not a very far pumpkin carriage ride.
No, unfortunately, not today. Yeah.
Oh. But maybe, all right.
You know.
Well, I'm sure it was your dreams and your wishes that brought you here today, then, Mark.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
I do hope maybe you can learn how to be your own wish granter, perhaps.
Well, I learned from the best from you.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, just as long as you keep on believing any dream that you wish can come true, that is the key.
Oh, I do love that, yes.
Well, maybe you can use a little bit of magical help like I did. Fairy Godmother's misplaced her wand, so if you find it, perhaps you could grant your own wishes just as easily as a bippity-boppity-boo.
I'm just going to take you through some of the food that you're going to find on the buffet here. That includes, obviously, it's not a Disney buffet without a breakfast buffet without some Mickey waffles. You've got yourself some pancakes up there. One of the highlights for me was this bread pudding with the crème anglaise. That was so good. I also got one of the pull-apart bread that you'll find up here. There was biscuits and gravy. There was eggs, cheesy eggs, there was bacon, there was pork sausage, there was chicken sausage, There was a tofu egg scramble that was interesting. Had a lot of, I feel like turmeric, something in there. There was something spicy in there. And then there was a hot carving ham station, which was delicious. This was definitely a highlight. There was also a beef and potato hash that I liked, that it was not just a normal hash brown sort of a thing. There was some eggs Benedict up there that, honestly, like the one I had, cooked to perfection. There was a little bit of that smoked salmon station. You had a fruit station, like with fruit salad for the kids, just the adult kids like myself. They had the gummy bear station that you could just get plenty of gummy bears. There was potato barrels. There was another highlight here, the croissant breakfast pizza. That was really good and interesting. I love a breakfast pizza. There was a little bit of a cereal station. You'll find like Raisin Bran Cheerios, Fruit Loops up there. There was some donut holes, some muffins. I think banana bread was up there. These little itty bitty cinnamon rolls. And then, of course, which I know is like a staple for here, is their strawberry soup, which to me, it was very good. It was something I was like, ugh, strawberry soup. I don't know about that. It's served cold. It definitely feels like someone poured out a strawberry smoothie into a little cup, and I'm okay with it because it had a little bit of like sliced strawberries up there with whipped cream. And that's not all. It kept going. There were croissants, there were bagels, there was toast. That's kind of all of it. But there was also a build your own omelet option. But I think you had to do that with our server, and I don't know that we felt like there would be enough time for that. So I feel like there's a lot of good breakfast options while both having staples and unique items. Like I said, while I was just talking about it, a highlight for me that I would say do not miss is definitely the bread pudding. I thought the Eggs Benedict were really, really good. It's not something I get often, but the hollandaise sauce on it was nice. The egg was like cooked perfectly with the like English muffin underneath, like really being able to like soak up the yolk. I really enjoyed that. And the ham. I was like almost not even going to get the ham, but this was a good ham. And the breakfast croissant pizza, strawberry pudding. Those are my favorites. I don't understand the pog juice, and I did not hear it called wishing juice. I don't care for that phrase either. Before I turn it back over to Craig to see what his highlights were, I just want to say, make a comment on, he talked about all the portraits that are up here. They are gorgeous. And you were right. That Arthur one is beautiful. They're all very stunning to the point where I'm like, I'm not usually someone to buy this sort of thing, but I'm like, I kind of wish they sold them. That's going to be my wish on the card. I'm going to wish that they sell these, because I would honestly probably get, like, I'm not the biggest fan of Disney's Alice in Wonderland, but I love the Alice in Wonderland poster, and the Aladdin one is really cool. And yeah, I didn't turn around to look at the ones behind me as much. But the Arthur one is just like stunning. And I think the Rapunzel one is also just absolutely beautiful. So I think those are really nice touches here. And then there's a haunted music player up here. And I'm not sure if that, what spirits those are filled with, but I wouldn't mess with it.
I think it's filled with all the spirits of guests who never ended up leaving the Grand Floridian or chose to come back here, but don't quote me on that one. I'm no expert on the ghosts of Disney's Grand Floridian Resort and Spa. But Rhino, I think you kind of nailed the highlights on the breakfast buffet. It really, to me, comes down to if it feels like it's unique to this buffet, then I think those are the standout ones, like the bread pudding with crème anglaise. This was better bread pudding than Raglan Road, and you can quote me on that day and night. And that cinnamon pull-apart bread was just very, very rich, sweet, but I don't know, it's like a great way to start breakfast. You skipped over two cheesy options. They had cheesy hash brown casserole and cheese grits. The cheese grits would have passed Hannah's cheese grit test for sure. They weren't runny at all. They weren't watery. These were buttery, cheesy grits. And it was hard choosing between those and the cheesy hash brown casserole. So I just lived in a cheese world. And they were right next to those Eggs Benedict. And like you said, this was like perfect buffet Eggs Benedict. The English muffin was so crispy that it absorbed all the liquid, but you could still cut right through it. That egg was poached perfectly. Like, I am shocked at how good it was. The ham was incredible. Like, that fat was rendered, so everything just melted in your mouth with it. Strawberry soup, I had two bowls of it, and I don't regret it. Like you said, it's if you think about it like a strawberry smoothie, then it goes down a lot easier. Otherwise, I'm not like disgusted by the idea. It's just it's not what I would gravitate towards, but it is extremely refreshing. And the one little cinnamon roll you were talking about, I want to make sure we point out, that was a guava. And I think it was a guava and cheese cinnamon roll. I didn't really get cheese, but it definitely was a guava cinnamon roll, which you know I love anything guava related. So I was a fan. I didn't have any of the banana bread because I thought too much breakfast bread was going to be heavy. But I love all of the bread options. That breakfast croissant pizza, you had that buttery flaky croissant with then sausage gravy as like the sauce, and then some I believe it was bacon on there and a little bit of eggs and cheese. This thing was too good. Like, I am shocked at how much I enjoyed this breakfast. The only things I didn't like were the boring things, like the cheesy eggs and scrambled eggs. Those were kind of underwhelming to me. More of your, like, traditional breakfast staples, I feel like, didn't hit. The biscuits and gravy, dry puck biscuits, and the gravy, you know, wasn't really necessarily great. But everything else that felt unique was just really, really a pleasure. And we were on the later side of sitting down for breakfast, but they still kept popping out fresh food. Like, even right now, I think they're probably still putting it out, and it's way past the breakfast, normal breakfast service times. I mean, we're in the last, I think, three or four people in here. I'm very impressed. I need to digest it a little bit, take in more of this atmosphere, and then hope I can find a second stomach before we have dinner. But we'll definitely go over, you know, our impressions of overall with breakfast and in the characters. I will say, we missed, there was like a character parade moment where you're supposed to hold up your card. We were at the buffet when that happened, and because we were in the late service of seating, we never got to see it again. The characters didn't really walk around. They just kind of stood in one place. Jiminy Cricket was the host. It was very weird for us from the vantage point that we watched it from. I think it would have been different had we been sitting down. So hopefully they do that for dinner too. Hopefully we get to catch it. But breakfast? Wow.
We were going to give you the numbers for breakfast right now, but we thought it would be a grand idea to save it for the end. Yeah, I went there. But just like a general sort of recap now, so I'm not thinking about it later, is that I had never been here before. Again, like I said, I'm going to keep saying it. And I thought this was a very pleasant experience. And I believe it came out to like $54 a person, something around there. We'll go over that again. And, you know, for a character meal, I wanted to say too, actually, I'm just reminding myself, is that, you know, for it being a character meal, for it being a full restaurant while we were in there, what's really nice about this spot is that it never got super loud. It was like, I think it's because it has carpeted floors and there's a lot of stuff on the wall. It's not super echoey. It's not like, oh, quiet in there, but it isn't that normal. Like, sometimes breakfast character, you know, meals can get a little, you know, kids just woke up. They got those, what do you guys call them? The wiggles. And they're loud. They're excited for the day. And I'm a very loud person too. And I'm very excited for the day in the morning. So it can be, breakfast can be a little overstimulating, I should say, just a little loud. And this was actually very pleasant. I genuinely enjoyed myself. So I liked it. So are we interested to see what those numbers end up shaking out to be? I can't believe we're going to eat here again in like 3 hours.
See, oh, well, I had three wishes of my own.
Yeah.
So my first one was to become a prince.
Yeah.
He made me Prince Ali.
Yes.
Above all.
Yes.
And then my second wish, the genie helped me out of a bit of a interesting situation.
Yes.
He had my back on that one. I mean, we never had a friend like him.
So yeah.
Good to have him.
I got him on here somewhere. Oh,
here he is. Talk about phenomenal cosmic powers. And then on my third wish, I figured I would pay the genie back again. I gave him his freedom.
Yeah,
it was the least
wonderful
that I can do.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What about you, Sultan? What's your wish going to be?
Oh, I'm wishing for an extra stomach so I can finish dinner tonight.
I have a feeling that he was influenced by Abu, because that's something that Abu would say as well.
I do feel like I'm very Abu-like.
Yes.
Yeah.
We like to call Abu's stomach the cave of hunger, because he's always hungry. The other day he ate a whole watermelon without even chewing it. He got so round he had to roll him onto the carpet to fly him back home.
Yep, that's me.
Talk about some monkey business.
Where do you leave carpet right now? Is he checked in out front, or is he like...
Well, he usually usually flies to the highest rooftop.
Oh, okay.
So that way he can bask in the sun for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then when the sun sets, he lets the stargates come up above.
What a great place to do it.
Yeah, I'll let Rogue Man know you said.
Yeah.
We're back, just like we said, for dinner time. And buckle up, because I feel like dinner is where the magic is happening at here at 1900 Park Fair. Okay, obviously it's no longer a breakfast buffet. It's now a dinner buffet. Should have figured that one out. Let's go over what's on the menu. We have pepperoni pizza, cheese pizza, chicken breast nuggets. Those are for all the little kids out there or adults that like to eat that way. Chicken noodle soup. Tiana's gumbo with spicy andouille sausage. And then steamed jasmine rice. That makes more sense than seasoned. I don't know why they would season jasmine rice. Then we have curry roasted chicken. We have the impossible merguez sausage with zucchini noodles. Quite the change of pace for me. Roasted garlic sausage with tomatoes, herbs, and braised cabbage. Macaroni and cheese. Steve Porter would be happy somewhere. Green beans. Baked salmon with saffron lemon butter. Glazed carrots. Oh, moving on. We're talking about sauces now. A trio of sauces for your meats. House-made steak sauce, au jus, and a hunter's sauce. Then also mashed potatoes. And then they also have creamy horseradish. You might want to put that on your porchetta. You might want to put that on your prime rib. Or if you're anything like me, just drink the sauces yourself. They're also great for that. And you also might want to dip your focaccia with sun-dried tomato and herbs in some of those sauces. Or not. You might want to use whipped butter for that. There's assorted cheeses. There are crackers. Why wouldn't there be? And then French rolls. I don't know what makes them French, but they are. Then for our salads, we have a couscous salad with dried fruits, almonds, mint, and parsley, loaded potato salad, fresh fruit salad, broccoli slaw. I noticed raisins in there. Mediterranean kale salad. Then you have, of course, salads. You have that romaine lettuce. You have mixed greens. There's all the toppings and accoutrements that you could want to put on there. Caesar, Italian, house-made ranch, citrus vinaigrette. I mean, we've got all of the dressings. Ryan, if you like peel and eat shrimp, I'm happy to announce they have peel and eat shrimp. But I don't know what's inside those shrimp. Probably shrimp. They serve that with lemon and cocktail sauce. That makes sense. Then, of course, for the kids, the gummy candy is back for dinner. And if the parents are smart, they'll look just to the left of the gummy candy where you find buttered kernel corn, marinara sauce, turkey meatballs, and pasta with olive oil. Now on to the good stuff at the end of the meal. Maybe not. I don't know. Yep, definitely. I didn't take photos of the desserts, so I'll just talk for now about the food that I enjoyed. I think a lot of people are going to talk about Tiana's gumbo. And while that is it's definitely a staple to me, it felt more authentic than other gumbos we've had on property. But at the same time, it needed a kick. So luckily, Rhino had a little bottle of Tabasco. And that was able to really take it up to the next level for me. The curry chicken was probably up there in terms of what I enjoyed most. But I also think that the salmon with that saffron lemon butter sauce was good. Honestly, though, the real star of the shows is the cutting station. Rhino's going to talk even more about it than I am. The prime rib was some of the best prime rib I've had on property. It was oozing with flavor. It was cooked nice and rare. I enjoyed every little bit of it. The porchetta was also good, and we learned from our server this morning that they're actually, or the busser, one of the two, it doesn't matter. We learned that they're going to switch out the second meat, so it could be ham, could be turkey, could be porchetta. The porchetta, I feel like that was a good choice. It was good. It couldn't overtake that prime rib. The only thing I wasn't super wild about was that impossible merguez sausage. Loved the spiciness of it. Thought it was really good. But the Zook noodles just weren't really my thing. I didn't enjoy those. I loved the roasted garlic sausage a lot, too. I'm going on and on here. I am so sorry for that. I just think that almost everything I had was good. It just, the one underwhelming thing was the wet Zook noodles, and then the mac and cheese was a little bland and boring. But stick with those meats, you can't go wrong.
Oh my God. But just like me, my dress is all ready for the next masquerade ball that Lottie's going to throw. Okay. This just gets me down the bayou. You know, you start tripping all over everything, and Lewis knows the bayou better than anyone I know, so I have to keep up with that game.
Yeah. Well, he's got a lot of energy, I feel like.
Well, exactly. You know? He's got a lot of friends down that bayou as well. They play some real good music. You can hear them quicker than you can see them, I can tell you that.
We're pretty excited for your celebration that's coming up.
Of course, Lewis is very excited to share all of his stories these days. Now, maybe you'll have to bring your frog feet of your own. You can hop on over with us.
Absolutely.
I would hope so. Yeah. Right? Maybe if we're just lucky, Lewis didn't eat all the beignets. Yeah. That way we have something to celebrate with that.
I'm going to give you some of my food highlights, which are a little bit different than Craig's, but I pretty much agree with his assessment for the most part. There was a lot of talk about the gumbo, and I had the gumbo, and you know what? It was fine. I feel like it definitely needed a hot sauce, and I happened to have one of these like little tiny bottles of Tabasco because I was somewhere with Craig. I think it was at our Star Wars media event on Friday, and there was a tiny one, and he said, and I took it, and then I ended up using it because I don't really like Tabasco, and he was like, put it in your bag. You never know when you're going to need it. Leave it in the studio or something. And he said, while he was eating the gumbo, man, I wish I had some hot sauce for this. And I said, wait a second. I have this hot sauce. And I was like, your wish came true. But then the server saw me do it, and he laughed. And then he brought over and said, look at that. Two more back for your bag. So I only had one, so now I have two. Look at that. That's why our server, Bob, is just absolutely phenomenal. One of the best experiences with him. So the gumbo for me just came off like a little plain, but I like that there was like jasmine rice to put that on, or, you know, the soups or anything you want to put on the jasmine rice, because there was also this like curry roasted chicken up there that I thought was pretty packed with a good amount of flavor. I get what Craig was saying about the merguez, is that how you say it? Maybe. About it having a little, being a little watery, but man, it was packed with flavor. So I think what I would do is take a scoop of that, pop it on top of the jasmine rice. That'll help maybe get a little bit of that water soaked up and filtered out, because this was definitely one of my like top in terms of it being like a plant-based option. So good. Definitely, I think, a great option for anybody who chooses to eat like that. Yeah, I did enjoy the roasted garlic sausage as well. I thought that baked salmon was like really good. You squish that thing and the butter was coming out of that like crazy. But he's not wrong. That cutting station with the porchetta, and I'm not a big prime rib person, but oh my God, I took a bite before he had gotten to his, and I was like, I think you're gonna love this, because it was just so good. It was so flavorful, but the porchetta was so good too, because it had this the crust on or whatever, it had this crunch that it was just like, I went back and got another one, and the person cutting was just like, oh, like, she's like, you liked it? And I'm like, I loved it. And so I thought this was absolutely top notch, one of the best things I've ever had at a Disney buffet for sure. The only thing that really stuck out for me that I was like, I didn't love it at all, was the loaded potato salad. It was very thick. It wasn't even just mayonnaise. It was just something in it had really thick type of mayonnaise to it. And I don't know. It was very creamy. I don't know. I'm describing it wrong, but it wasn't like it was bad. It just wasn't my type. But it made me a little sad, because I looked at it and thought, oh, that is my type. So, you know, my type is potato salad. Anyone out there looking for a date? I want to talk too about the desserts, because Craig did not have that, but there were a bunch of desserts up here. We had a toasted coconut cake, which I enjoyed. There was chocolate chip cookies. There was vanilla cupcakes. There was the strawberry soup was back again, which I really enjoyed at breakfast. We had a vanilla creme anglaise again, making its appearance to go atop a white chocolate cake, or warm chocolate cake. It was definitely not white chocolate. But it had like a really, I basically agree with what he said about that. It was pretty good. And then there was a lemon blueberry cheesecake, which was, it was surprisingly, it was very good. Like, I love the consistency of it. It had a really nice blueberry flavor. I felt like it was a little lacking on the lemon, but it was like, I know for me, it's like, I love that punch of lemon. I think for people that maybe they're not the biggest fans, it's going to be a little better because it was all a little more mellowed out. And then there was a fudge brownie, which Craig spoke very highly of, but I didn't get that. And a Grand Floridian Financier, which I didn't know. He said he's familiar with a Financier cake. So it's like an almond cake with a meringue on it and a little chocolate medallion, little sprinkle there. And that was fine, too. So I liked it. But, yeah, the thing I think I'm going to be thinking about for a long time is going to be that porchetta, however you want to say it, or whatever is the correct way to say it. But I should say this. We did not get drinks for breakfast, but we did try them for dinner because our server, again, excellent server, said, I asked, Bob, I know these look a lot like they're like, you know, classic cocktails, normal cocktails. I would like, are there two like unique ones to this restaurant? And he said, yes. He said the bottom two. And those were the Passion Fruit Daiquiri for $16. That is Diplomatica, Planas Extra Añejo Blanco Rum, Aperol Liqueur, Passion Fruit, Vanilla, and Lime. And then there was the Strawberry Rosé Spritz for $16. And that was Le Fetute Rosé. I cannot speak French or Spanish. Rockies Botanical Liqueur, Tito's Handmade Vodka, and Strawberry also for $16. We both tried them. I think we agreed that the Passion Fruit Daiquiri, even though I'm not a big Passion Fruit person, I thought this was a really good classic daiquiri. Like the classic cocktail daiquiri, not like a frozen daiquiri. It was like that really nice balance of being, just feeling like really classy and refreshing. But the Strawberry Rosé Spritz, honestly, that was pretty good too. It's not my normal type of a drink, but it was light. It was refreshing. I liked it because in the long run, I sipped it throughout dinner and it didn't make me feel heavier then, but it was definitely really fresh. Had a really nice big chunk of strawberry in it that I enjoyed. So not bad. I'm glad we got them. I'm glad we gave them a try.
I have a feeling that the two of you over here would be pretty good at lifting some donkeys.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's a workout program.
Well, my sister Lisa, she's been looking for a couple of friends to join her for a little donkey carrying competition. Do you think the two of you would be up for the challenge?
Anything
for sure.
That would help Luisa carry the weight of the responsibility that she feels.
Let me
Absolutely.
Tell you, I tried lifting a donkey the other day, and
Don't
think I'm as nearly as strong as her. Maybe next time I'll have to carry a little, like, push donkey. That might be a little easier. Kind of like the one I made for Antonio. I'll just have to make one of those again.
I think we want you to put some pull in here. We feel like we need some arepas on the menu.
Somebody that's going, yes, I love that idea. My mama, she's one of the most amazing cooks. But if you ever need some arepitas, just come visit the Encanto.
Oh, absolutely.
Unless Camilo eats them all first, there should be plenty to go around.
I definitely enjoyed the daiquiri more because it kind of had like the vanilla brought out like a cream texture to it, flavor, and I don't know, something about it. It just really worked for me. It felt like I was having a dessert drink, and the spritz was good, great flavor. It just got watered down too quickly for my taste, and I wanted a little bit more effervescence with it. With the desserts, though, I thought all of the ones that I tried were good, and some were like really good. And for me, like I would say that fudge brownie is definitely the highlight. The coconut cake wasn't that bad. It had like this passion fruit topping on it that kind of added a little extra zip, a little, you know, a tanginess. Pretty nice. And the cheesecake, lemon blueberry, I'd agree with you, Rhino, needed a little bit more lemon, but a solid dessert. The Financier, I ended up eating almost all of it. I really enjoyed the meringue on it, and I'm never going to say no to a gooey cake. And I also discovered that using a spoon is the preferred way to drink your strawberry soup, because if you just pick it up, it's going to get all in your mustache, unless you don't have one, and then that's not an issue at all. But it's, again, I'm just, the desserts might be the most underwhelming part of this entire meal, even though I just spoke highly. I just think it's all about those mains and it's about those meats. But I want to second what Rhino said, too, about Bob. He has been incredible. We'll talk more about it when we give our rating scale, I'm sure. But I feel like, I don't want to say that this restaurant is below him, but I feel like he could walk up into Victoria and Albert's and, like, just not skip a beat, or walk up to Citrico's and just be like, I'm at home here. He has been nothing short a phenomenal professional and just a real, real pleasure. And I know what I wanted to point out too, because I can't wait to get Rhino's thoughts on it. We looked in between meals at the old pictures of 1900 Park Fair because he was never in here. I was, but it's been so long I didn't remember. And I forgot all about the old look with the weird carousel animals that were just kind of placed throughout. Definitely had a dated feel. So now seeing those photos and then being in here, it shows how much this entire restaurant has just been refreshed in a great way. It feels clean. It feels classy. We can't say enough good things about the portraits. Even one of the people working here this morning pointed out like a little hidden Mickey in the Rapunzel painting, which was really cool. Always love finding those little details around. I'm just really blown away. And speaking of little details, one of my favorite ones is back further in the restaurant. There's all these classy paintings around that I think survived maybe from the original 1900 Park Fair. And people were upset, no Mary Poppins really here, you know, only up in Citrico's. Well, in the one painting, you can see the kite that George Banks helped mend for Michael and Jane to fly at the end of the movie. So you just see that in there. It's nice. Nice to have it in here. You know what? I was wishing for a good dinner, and I think we achieved that.
Be sure we write down our wishes too.
Yeah.
Just a little while, we're all going to make a wish together. I'm sure Fairy Godmother will make them all come true, just like she did for me.
Yeah.
She used her magic wand and said the magic words. Do you know what they are?
Bippity,
boppity,
boppity.
Boom. Very good. Fairy Godmother will be very proud.
You got your wishes for us, everyone?
Or
the time has come where we are going to give our ratings, our numbers for both breakfast and dinner. Excuse me while I scratch my nose here. Here we go. For breakfast, for ambiance, I have it at a 7. I feel like it's not bad. I think it accomplishes kind of what it is. It's a dinner place. It's nice. I actually enjoyed the carpet. I know we said earlier that it was quieter. It is definitely a lot louder at dinner. When that is a full restaurant, there's a lot of hustle and bustle, but there is something kind of comforting about, there's like, I don't know if it's like the textures, the wallpaper color, the carpet, all that sort of stuff where it does feel comfortable. But it, again, because there's so many people in there and it is where it is, it's not one of those things where you're just like, oh, remember the ambiance, remember the lighting, remember the music, remember all that. There's not really any of that at play. So I give it a 7, food prep and presentation 8. I thought, especially when we were there for breakfast, I mean, we were there day one, they were kind of very good about making sure that things kept getting refilled. So every time I was up there, if anything was like half full, it was full the next time I saw it. And it all, presentation wise, it all looked pretty good. I'm not gonna lie. I keep thinking about those Eggs Benedicts looked really good and their little plate up there. So I give it an 8 on that. Quality of taste, I also give it an 8. I thought everything, especially for breakfast, was really good. You know, I did not have a bad thing for breakfast, I don't think. So
I enjoyed it. I thought it had some creative options in there as well, which I like. I like when they can have both the standard issue breakfast stuff. You got your, you know, you got your bacon, your eggs, the sausage, whatever, you know, but then you have that more creative stuff with like the bread pudding, the eggs Benedict, like, especially, I know they're like, oh, that's not that creative. When it's on a buffet and you can keep getting them. I mean, I don't know who's doing all you can eat hollandaise sauce, but you're going to have a rough day after that. But that's where I'm at with that. So that service, I give it about a 7. It felt a little kind of like a little awkward. We did ask a couple of times, had to ask like a couple of times for water and stuff like that. But, you know, but it wasn't like it was bad. It definitely, our experience at night when I get in here and what we've said in this video so far, it was far superior at night. So it could have been opening jitters or something like that. I don't know. So it wasn't like bad service, but I give it about a 7. For cost for breakfast, I give it a 7 as well. It was $54, and I did go through and start looking to see how much Ohana was, Chef Mickey was, and all these are kind of like that $49, $54 range for those like character breakfasts. You know, and I was thinking about something more like Chef Mickey, because Chef Mickey had a lot of diversity in its offerings for food, whereas Ohana did not. And Ohana, you know, I'll let Craig say it about the different types of characters like face versus fur, and how that impacts your experience, because that's where I'm going to come down now for the character interaction. For breakfast, I feel bad giving it this number. I was thinking maybe a 7. I have it at like a 6. The Mirabelle at breakfast was fantastic. And nobody was really bad. It was just a little bit awkward. And it really felt like a lot of these characters were whispering to us. And I like a kind of a projection, like a really bold character interaction. So I can be like, I'm kind of hard of hearing in one of my ears. And so it's hard for me to be like, could you talk a little louder? I'm so sorry. So I give it like a 6. So all in all, for me, that gives breakfast a 43 out of 60, which when you divide that all up comes out to a 3.6 out of 5. So, which is a little lower than I actually expected it to come in, because I feel like it is a really solid bet for breakfast. And if you were asking me, would you come back? I actually had my friend Nicole text me while we were doing the dinner review, and she asked how it was. And I said, honestly, it's good. I was like, both experiences have been good. And if someone really wanted to go to one of the two of these, I'd say, yeah, I'd go.
Rhino, this was a tough one because I didn't write down my ratings for breakfast right after breakfast. And I wish I would have done that, because I ultimately let the experience at dinner skew what happened at breakfast. But at the same time, I'm happy about it because I really want to be fair with this. For ambiance, I give it an 8. And the noise level, I think it was a problem. When you said, oh, it's not really that loud in there, I didn't understand what you meant earlier. But for me, noise level aside, I love the theming inside there. I think it's so beautiful. You know, everyone's complained so much lately about how they've been kind of like stripping Disney away. And that's definitely not the case. This thing oozes Disney from the walls. And when those characters are just walking throughout and just buzzing by you, there's something about it that just works so well. And so, yeah, I'm giving that an 8. For food prep and presentation, I'm giving it a 6 for breakfast. And the reason I'm saying that is because this is where it skews from dinner. At dinner, when there was like trays that were half empty or almost empty, they were trying to reorganize them to make sure that they kind of felt a little bit more full, look a little bit more presentable. At breakfast, that wasn't happening. If they were empty, they were just kind of left there empty. They were switching them out relatively quickly, but I saw the difference between the two. And so I thought that, and breakfast, just, it's never going to look good. It's just slop. Most part, I'm sorry. So that's where I have it there. For quality and taste, though, an 8 out of 10 for a breakfast. I thought everything that I tried outside of, again, the eggs, I think everything was pretty, pretty good. A breakfast that I was telling everyone about afterwards, like, yes, I love the breakfast food here. So I feel like an 8 is a worthy score. For service, I don't know what you were smoking. Hopefully nothing, because you've never smoked in your life. But I gave our service for
breakfast a 5 out of 10. I thought there was some of the cast members that were in supporting roles were really excellent, but our server seemed like she didn't want to be there at all. And I can't look away from that. The fact that we had to ask for water, I think 3 times before it got brought out to us, that shouldn't be happening. And I mean, we wouldn't, luckily for me, I got coffee refills fast because the carafe was at the table, but the service was a mess in the morning, unfortunately. For cost, I gave it a 7 out of 10 because, you know, it's on the pricey side, but characters and a variety of breakfast options, I think it earns that price. That price point that it's at, yes, it's expensive, but Walt Disney World's expensive. Let's keep remembering that. For character interaction, I gave it an 8 out of 10 in the morning, and I understand the issues you had with the volume of the characters. That is absolutely correct. And I might say some things that I regret about the characters, so maybe if there's little ones around right now, you maybe cover their ears or send them out at this point and pick back up with this later, but for the characters, yes, they obviously weren't the same characters in the morning as they were at night. The same characters, not the same actors. Thank you very much for helping me with the clarification, Rhino. It's different actors. And in the morning, the difference was they explained the entire purpose and theming of the restaurant about, you know, they're the ones who they've had their wishes granted. And they're there to, like, you know, encourage everyone to write down their wishes and make those wishes. And every single character reinforced that story, told about their wishes. And they really, in my opinion, they brought the theme of the restaurant to life. And that was great for breakfast when it was our first time eating there. They painted a picture. Yes, they were on the quiet side, but I thought Mirabelle was incredible in the morning. I didn't really have any issues in the morning. Mirabelle was my favorite, and then Tiana. And obviously, I have different feelings about dinner, but I thought they served their purpose really well. It's just, and, you know, I'm going to rate it higher than other character meals where you just get the fur characters because they were able to interact and we were able to talk back. And that really adds a big difference to it. Much like you, though, my score ultimately comes out really low. I think a lot of it's because of service. I'm a 42 out of 60 or a 3.5 out of 5. So it felt low. But honestly, if the service would have been like what we had for dinner, if I'm rating that a 10 out of 10, completely different score. Ultimately, I recommend it for breakfast. I had a great time. I really enjoyed it. The score definitely doesn't reflect how I feel about it. But Rhino, let's hear what you have to say about dinner.
I am ultimately really happy that we came back for dinner today. I mean, maybe not today, because it's a lot to eat, but and I was worried that would almost sway my feelings on the experience, and it didn't. It was actually really enjoyable for dinner. You know, for ambiance, I kind of kept it at the same number. I do agree with everything that Craig said, though. I think it is very, very pretty in there. We looked at photos between breakfast and dinner, and he showed me what it used to look like, and I definitely prefer what it looks like now. It looked a little haunted before with the kind of carousel horses and stuff like that. But I really enjoy those paintings. I really wish they sold those paintings. That's my wish. Sell those paintings. Because those were cool. You know, and there's just a really nice vibe in there. I feel like it, or at least there was today. I don't know. You know, it was very loud this evening. You know, so I have it at a 7. That's all. I enjoyed it, though, not to say anything negative about it. For the food prep and presentation, I have it at an 8. For dinner, I thought everything looked great. Again, it is a buffet. You know, Craig kind of said it about breakfast, referring to stuff as slop a little bit. But, you know, at the same time, it was still kind of everything, as I went around, I was like, oh, I want to try that. I want to try that. I want to try that. So I feel like for the most part, looked appetizing, you know. Quality of taste, I have it in an 8 too. I need you to know that there wasn't anything I had I did like, except for I wasn't in love with the potato salad. But the thing is it's just my preference on how I like potato salad. So Craig liked it, I think, much more than I did. But I tried a lot more things that normally I don't even know if I would have tried or not. And I liked it. I liked a lot of it. I thought They all kind of had really quality ingredients in them. Nothing really felt kind of cheap or skipped out on. Although the only one that I'm kind of like, maybe it was just because everybody was saying it was the gumbo, was a little thinner, a little, it had less to it than I expected. But again, an 8, because I went back for more than one helping of that porchetta, whatever it is called. It is crunchy. It was delicious. And I will remember that for a while. And that prime rib, because that's not normally something I go for. It was very good. So service this evening was a 10. Our server, Bob, was phenomenal. I made sure to give him a cast compliment and then talk to the managers about him, because he told us he has been working in this restaurant since it opened day one. I said, 1988. I'm like, you don't even look like you could have been old enough to do that. So it's just like, he was so friendly. He was the right amount of attentive. He was not intrusive whatsoever. So whenever we were like kind of doing this filming thing, he just like left us alone. I already said the thing about the Tabasco things. He is that definition of what like Disney difference is when you think about it. This is the guy that I'm going to think about is Bob. And I thought even like the person who sat us at the table was kind of funny too. She was like nice. She was clearly like very starstruck by whatever was going on, you know. But there was a lot of people in the restaurant, and they were all very friendly tonight. And so a 10 cost, I give this one an 8. Because I was thinking about it, because it is $66 for adults, I believe, at the time of recording this. So the difference between breakfast and dinner is $12. Math. And for a $12 difference, like, yeah, there was some high quality stuff going on in there. I felt like I definitely got more of my money's worth, I think, for the evening than the breakfast. Not in a negative way. It's just there was more substance to it. You know, it was more substantial. And the character interactions, a 10. I'm gonna say it too. So if you don't want to talk about the character thing, maybe cover up the ears of kids or whatever around you. I'm not gonna swear or anything. Well, maybe, who knows? But no. There was a cast switch. But I have to say that, like, not to say that I didn't really think anybody in the morning was bad, but this, like, the Aladdin that we had this evening was fantastic. And not to say the morning one wasn't, but this one was like, he was popping with that energy. He was very much giving me like what I remember animated Aladdin was like in the very beginning of the movie. It was sort of that sassy, fun attitude. And I watched him throughout the room, and he was very charismatic everywhere he went. The same with our Mirabelle. She was like knocking out her Mirabelle motions like left and right. And I agree with Craig's assessment about the characters in the morning as well, with Mirabelle just knocking it out of the park. So they have some solid folks working in there. The Tiana, has always been great too. So that is a 10, which brings this to 51 out of 60, which if you divided 4.25 out of 5, and I would say that's good. I think really for me, the only thing I would say is like maybe add, and it's probably because of the way the restaurant is, but I was going to say maybe add a couple more of those drinks, like infuse a little bit more in terms of those. And I would say it needs like a more punch with a signature dessert. Like I think if there was like maybe like one more thing that made that like just a little bit extra, I think it'd put it over to the next level. So again, I said it before, but I would recommend both lunch and dinner, and I would return to this restaurant. Breakfast and dinner, excuse me. I don't believe there is a lunch service. That's wishful thinking. But you know what's crazy is that, Greg, I think we both kind of agreed with this, or at least I've said it before, is that this resort is not necessarily my vibe. And this restaurant really kind of like the experience of being in here and sitting here and going to this is kind of like, okay, I think I've judged it, poorly, so... I really enjoyed this experience.
Ryan, you are right. This resort is not my aesthetic, but that restaurant is. And for ambiance, dinner, yes, it was a little louder, but I'm sticking with that 8 score. I feel like it's reflective of both breakfast and dinner. It was a vibe. The one difference is obviously we were a late breakfast seating, so I feel like ours was more of a brunch. Maybe that's what they should call it in general, because the breakfast service is from 8 o'clock to 12 o'clock. And if you get sat right at 12, then, I mean, we left, I think it was 2 o'clock. So it kind of is brunch, more or less. And, you know, it
when it died out, it did get quiet, but dinner, it was vibing the entire time. So I'm just going to leave it in an 8 there. Food prep and presentation, I already talked about it. At dinner, they were like pushing everything together, making sure it looked better nonstop. That might have been for the first night with everyone out taking photos, videos. Maybe it's because of that. Either way, it looked good. It looked more than just slop. So 8 out of 10. Quality and taste, I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10 because really the only thing I disliked was the merguez, and that really was just because of the wateriness to it. That the potato salad, Rhino, loved it. I loved how much mayonnaise was in there. It just fulfilled my mayonnaise dreams. I don't like that. I regret saying that. I'm the editor, so I'll probably cut that out. I'm leaving it in. But yeah, when I try everything and I dislike only one thing, maybe two things, I think that's a solid, solid win. And when I say I liked everything, I mean, I had to stop myself from eating more. I could have had 6 or 7 more slices of prime rib and really regretted my life. And the one thing I'll say, you talked about, oh, there should have been more of a signature dessert. I think the problem is that the signature dessert for dinner is also the strawberry soup. But when you have it for breakfast, it's not as impressive because you're like, well, or sorry, I mean, like you had it for breakfast. Oh, it's for dinner again. Well, that's not as much of a standout. But the financier cake, I believe, also would be a signature dessert in a way, too. Service, 10 out of 10. I was blown away with Bob because I truly did not expect his story. I've never had him for a server before, but I asked where he was displaced after, you know, the pandemic, when this restaurant didn't open back up. I asked, where were you? He said, Grand Floridian Cafe. I'm like, well, before that, where were you? Because there's no way you worked here before, you know, even before everything. And he's like, nope, always 1900 Park Fair. As Rhino said, since day one of the restaurant opening with the resort. And he was just next level. He was so attentive, the perfect server that understood everything we wanted the entire time. The fact that he called us gentlemen the entire time, and not in like a sarcastic, sardonic way. There was a mutual respect, I feel like, with it. I'm here to serve, but I also want to make sure that your night is memorable or your meal is memorable, and I want to make sure I can do whatever I can. Like, I don't know if we'll have another server that's better at Walt Disney World. And I know that's a big say, but my goodness, he left an impression. For cost, I'm giving it an 8 out of 10. It's still, you know, it's still expensive. The characters made up a lot more for it, but the quality was just so much better for dinner that I had to give it a bump up in terms of that. For characters, 9 out of 10. And I didn't give it the elusive 10 out of 10 only because I felt like our Cinderella was a little bit on the weaker side, and I hate saying that. I'm doing the thing I get mad at you about, Rhino. I'm like, I think she's around, so I get quiet all of a sudden. She's not around, but I do feel bad. It's Cinderella was just the one part of it tonight where I was like, I could not hear her at all, and I felt like she was kind of like, we weren't interacting back with her, so she just very much shared a little bit and then was like, okay, let's take photos, let's move on. And the other characters felt more invested, especially, again, Mirabelle, Tiana, Aladdin, like, above and beyond, though. He, like, we almost couldn't get him away from the table. He would have stayed there all night talking to Rhino. Oh, figured it out. He wanted you. So that left me with a 52 out of 60. Well, Ryan, you had your chance to say your piece, so I'm not inserting your thoughts. A 52 out of 60, 4.3 for dinner. And again, that felt like on the low side compared. Like, that's a great score. It still feels on the low side, but dinner was fantastic. I can't wait to come back with my wife and son. We were supposed to all be together here with Rhino tonight, but she got sick and couldn't make it out, which is a bummer. But I've got to come back. I've got to have that pork. Got to have that prime rib. Got to see these characters again. What a nice way to reopen this restaurant after so many years of it being closed, and I definitely have a different appreciation for this place now because of it. So that's going to do it for this Disney Dining Review. Thanks for sticking with us for 2 meals. I know it's a lot, but we appreciate you. And if you want to support us, please head over to dreamsunlimitedtravel.com, get a free no obligation quote on your next vacation. If you want more exclusive content from the Diz team, I believe from this meal even, head over to patreon.com/DizUnlimited. If you're watching this on YouTube, hit the thumbs up, subscribe to the channel, leave comments, questions, video suggestions in the comments section. If you're listening to this, subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a rating and review when possible. That's going to do it for this week's episode of the Disney Dining Show. I truly hope you enjoyed it, and we will see you again real soon with another Disney Dining Review. Take care. Bye-bye. Stay hungry. Yummy, yummy.